We are already past the halfway mark of this Lenten season in our fast and preparation to enter into the Paschal feast of Easter. And we go through these readings, especially in year A, which we are in, that help the catechumens prepare for baptism. Okay, the last week we heard about the woman at the well. This week we hear about the man born blind, and next week we'll hear about the raising of Lazarus, all of which have to do with what transpires, what gift is given to us at Holy Baptism. So it's meant to be a good reminder, all of us, of our calling, the power that was unleashed when we were washed in the waters of baptism. So today we'll talk about sight. We received sight in baptism. Now I was struck this week by a writing from St. Theophilus of Antioch. Who was St. Theophilus of Antioch, you might ask? Well, that's a great question. I had to look it up. He was the seventh bishop of Antioch. Antioch was one of the first Christian communities, one of the great five patriarchates. So he lived from, he was the bishop from 169 to 185 AD. So very early in the church. So I'm going to share with and expound upon what he was writing in the one writing of his that has been preserved. He was a man who was a pagan who converted to Christianity, and he's writing this work to another pagan to try to expound and open up his heart to faith in Jesus Christ. So he says this, "If you say, 'Show me your God,' so our God is invisible, right? 'I will say to you, show me what kind of person you are, and I will show you my God. Show me then whether the eyes of your mind can see, and the ears of your heart hear.'" See, he's saying God cannot be seen by our ordinary senses, but by the spiritual senses. If you have them and they're working, you'll be able to see this God that I proclaim. I continue on. "It is like this. Those who can see with the eyes of their bodies are aware of what is happening in this life on earth. They get to know things that are different from each other. They distinguish light and darkness, ugliness and beauty, elegance and inelegance, proportion and lack of proportion, excess and defect. The same is true of the sounds we hear, high or low or pleasant. So it is with the ears of our heart and the eyes of our mind and their capacity to hear or see God." So he's talking about these spiritual senses. And so if someone is not able to see with these eyes of the mind, they're blind. When we hear the gospel reading today of Jesus curing this man who was born blind, this is a symbol, right? Certainly, we believe he performed this miracle, that the man had never been able to see, he was born blind, and then after encountering Jesus, he was healed, he was able to see. But this man, this story is about this man receiving a different kind of sight. Spiritual sight. To be able to see and distinguish that which is of God and that which is not of God. To be able to see with the eyes of faith what our physical eyes could never see. Okay, so I continue on. St. Theophilus of Antioch says, "God is seen by those who have the capacity to see him, provided that they keep the eyes of their mind open. All have eyes, but some have eyes that are shrouded in darkness. unable to see the light of the sun. Because the blind cannot see it, it does not follow that the sun does not shine. The blind must trace the cause back to themselves and their eyes. In the same way, you have eyes in your mind that are shrouded in darkness because of your sins and evil deeds. So again, he's talking to someone who does not believe in the one true God, who's saying, well, show me and I'll believe. Well, there's a reason why you cannot see. There's a reason why your eyes are shrouded in darkness. It is sin. Now, the secular person, the person who lives for the world, might balk at this and say, well, I do see. I see clearly. I know my goals. I know the consequences of my actions. I know how to achieve what I want, and I work for what I desire. They do not realize that they are blind. How is it possible for someone of faith to believe that the most important and the most obvious thing in the world, not in the world, but that exists, is God's existence? And someone who is perfectly intelligent, perfectly seems to have everything together, cannot see it. If we begin to speak to them of these spiritual realities, these spiritual senses, they would know nothing of them. They would pretend that they didn't exist. How is it possible? I've noticed that there is a tactic that is at play in many things in our lives. This is the tactic: to try to distract with something that is close by, something that draws the attention, so that someone doesn't notice or is blind to the greater threat on the horizon. This is how you draw up a good sports play, right? You try to draw their attention to something when the real threat is somewhere else. This is what a salesperson does, right? Tries to get you to focus on the thing that's in front of you, rather than look at the long term. Is this the best decision for me? It's what a con man does. Someone who has ignoble intentions in a relationship. This is how war takes place. The tactics of war. This is the same tactic of the enemy with regards to sin. He wants to keep us distracted, focused on the things that are so near, so that we become unaware of the danger of neglecting that which is eternal. Things that are close, things that are easily attainable, the things that are passing away, rather than the things that are above, the things that would take sacrifice for us to attain, the things that endure and are eternal. This is why we think we have sight, but we, living in sin, are totally blind to what matters the most. St. Theophilus of Antioch continues, a person's soul should be clean, like a mirror reflecting light. If there is rust on the mirror, his face cannot be seen in it. In the same way, no one who has sin within him can see God. See, it's sin that is the blindness. And just like, you know, if you wear glasses, your glasses get dirty. You don't even realize oftentimes that they're dirty until someone else points it out to you. And then you're like, oh yeah, they are dirty. You clean them and you can see so much better. Right? This is us, our souls, right? We are oftentimes ignorant of the fact that we're not seeing rightly. We need to be cleansed so that we could see the things that are true and of God. Saint continues on, but if you will, you can be healed. Hand yourself over to the doctor, and he will open the eyes of your mind and heart. Who is to be the doctor? It is God, who heals and gives life through his word and wisdom. So our spiritual blindness can be cured by God's power, can be cured by a thorough examination of our conscience, coming to some sight internally about who we are, and a sacramental confession, coming to encounter the one who is the doctor, the healer of our souls. If we want to see, if we want to have right relationship with God, this is what we must do. We must deal with our spiritual blindness. So again, what does it take for us to make a good sacramental confession? First, we acknowledge our sins. Right? So we make an examination of conscience. We're not going to go into confession saying, well, I can't really think of anything. If that's the way you feel, ask your closest friend or your spouse or someone. They will help you discover the areas of your life where you need conversion. All of us have them. We acknowledge our sins. I have done this. It was me. And I am ashamed. And we confess our sins. We're required to confess all of our grave sins in kind and number, what we have done, how many times. We can also confess our less serious sins as a way of continuing to seek conversion and healing in our lives. And then we express our sorrow, in other words, our contrition. Truly, truly, Lord, it saddens, it pains my heart to know that I have offended you and I have hurt my brothers and sisters. And then we make some kind of satisfaction for our sins. We intend to change, to do right, to leave sin behind, and to repair, wherever possible, the damage that we have done. If I have destroyed someone's reputation, I, after confessing my sin, seek to restore it. If I have stolen something, I return it. Okay. And this is where our penance comes in from sin. This process is a process of coming, having our soul, which is dirty, which is not clearly reflecting the light of God's love and grace, cleansed, stripped away of all of that rust, so that once again we can truly be a reflection of the light and love of God. And we can see things aright. St. Theophilus concludes, if you understand this and live in purity and holiness and justice, you may see God. But before all, faith and the fear of God must take the first place in your heart, and then you will understand all this. When you have laid aside mortality and been clothed in immortality, then you will see God according to your merits. God raises up your flesh to immortality along with your soul, and then, once made immortal, you will see the immortal one if you believe in him now. Jesus had said, blessed are the clean of heart, they shall see God. And if we have faith and the fear of God, as St. Theophilus of Antioch told us, we will understand, we will see. That fear of God, perhaps we could think of it like going before the judge when you know you have been accused of some wrongdoing. You go before him with fear because he has the power, he holds your life in his hands or her hands. In this case, the judge is human like us, we know that. But when it is God, He is so much beyond us. It's not fear as in fear of being harmed, but fear as in knowing how great the one who is before us is. If we have faith and fear of God, we can be cleansed, and we can see the God who is invisible. We see Him with the eyes of our mind, with our spiritual senses. There's a man in the Gospels who says to Jesus, "I want to see," and I hope this is our desire that we express to the Lord today. "Lord, I am blind. Heal my blindness. Give me faith and a healthy, loving fear of You. Reveal my blindness to me so that You can heal it and I may see You."